Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Before we start the show, I have to tell you about an exciting opportunity for solo travelers. If you love the idea of this RV life but not sure about going it alone, now you don't have to. Embark on your solo adventures with confidence and camaraderie. Join the Wandering Individuals Network RV Club today for the ultimate journey tailored to the independent traveler. Visit WindsRVClub.com to learn more, and be sure to check out Episode 6, where Janelle, the owner of Winds RV Club and a solo traveler herself, shares her story and all about this fantastic club. You won't want to miss it. Now back to the show. Welcome back to the Roam in Your Home podcast, the show where we dive into the world of RV living with tips, stories, and insights from those who live it every day. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Today, I can't wait to share part two of my conversation with Kelly and Chris from My 500 Square Foot Life. If you haven't listened to part one yet, go now and listen, then come back here to listen to part two. You won't want to miss either episode. Kelly and Chris are known for sharing so many helpful RV tips and super valuable information that will make this RV life easier. In part two, you'll love hearing their story of how they got started doing this full-time RV life, and you'll hear some things, especially at the end, that will really surprise you. I was shocked. This conversation was so much fun, and I loved getting to know them better, and I know you will too. So I won't make you wait any longer. Let's jump right back into part two, where I ask them to share their story of how they got started. So I know that you guys are stationary sometimes for Chris's work. I would love for you guys to kind of share your story.
So we are traditionally stationary at our home base campground. So about every, give or take, once a quarter. We try to make sure we take at least a little trip, sometimes a little bit more. But whenever we were previously in Central Florida and worked with a company that offered me a position out in Texas that I just really couldn't say no to. So we use that as a little bit of a piece to catapult all the decisions of, hey, you know what? Whenever we sell this house, let's not buy another one. Let's make this transition that we've talked about and have been considering for, I don't know, roughly a year at that point. We had really been trying to work towards it. I said, well, it's no real better time than to jump into the world and really change how we live life and what we're doing. So that's why we transitioned to this. And I was still at that point with work where I thoroughly enjoy walking into, you know, my office, if you will, and seeing everybody and working with those people. So I wasn't quite ready to go to a remote workforce yet to travel. That's probably in the next couple of years, we'll be looking for something of that nature to where we spend more time on the road itself than any one place in particular. So,
well, and this allowed for so many changes at the same time. Of course, I worked full time then, so I had the option to not work. Emma was going into middle school, which was a crucial age for me. And I was like, you know, I really prefer her to be homeschooled for these couple of years, you know, or whatever we decide to do. And it was one of those like, why not moments. I have never really had that many why not moments, but it just all clicked. And I looked at Chris and I said, at what point are we supposed to ignore this? Like, there are too many things lining up absolutely perfectly
right
to do this. At what point are we not supposed to do this? And kind of the whole RV life as a whole, like, it's intriguing. When we were weekenders, we would meet people and we're like, you full time? That is so amazing. Like, wow. And then of course you have all those questions. What do you do for work? How do you have the internet? You know, all those things. And it was too much to fathom at one point. And at some point I just became like perfectly able to perceive all of that information and figure it out. And we're not the typical full-time RVers. As you said, we don't full-time travel, but we're kind of a mix and it's a good blend. We meet different people. We meet people that are stationary and they just kind of travel for the weekend, or they have a house and they have a camper, or they travel every day, week, or month. We meet everybody. And that's what I love about RV life, is that it means something different to everyone. And you always have room to make changes. If you want to be still longer, be still longer. If you want to, you know, get up and load up and hook up, you can. So we're set up like we're ready to travel. If inclement weather came in or anything else, it would be a rough hour, but we could be packed up in an hour and we could be ready to go, and maybe shorter if we really, really had to. But just having that ability, if you like, recently we were home based out of Houston, and in January we came on a trip out about an hour outside of Houston, and we loved the area so much more than Houston. Obviously Houston's very busy, lots of traffic, so many roads, and we loved it so much we had the opportunity to get an annual site about an hour away, and it actually saved us like half the year's amount of money too, because it was cheaper to do. So we moved our home base, and you can do that. You know, in RV life, you don't like your neighbor, you don't like your view, you just hook up and you go, and you can make those choices. And that just kind of leads for so much opportunity. You know, some people do it for a year or two, they find where they want to like have a house or settle down, or, you know, have kids, grandkids, whatever you're having, and you have that ability. And I think that's what I like so much about RV life, is that you can do what you want.
I love that too. And I love that you found, you know, a location that you guys love. So does that mean, Chris, that you have to drive an hour to work every day?
It's roughly 40 minutes. So it was about an hour from where we were originally, and my work is in between that. So running 40 miles, 40 minutes every day.
It's more mileage, but it's half the time.
Oh, that's true. Because yeah, you don't have to fight all the traffic then. So that's nice. Awesome. Oh, that's so good. And you found an annual site that you guys love. And so do you have a good relationship then with like the managers there, and you kind of get to know people being there?
I mean, I would say we do, but we're pretty easy to get along with most of the time. I try not to pitch a fit on anything.
Right.
I usually go with it. It's probably not that big a deal. Just calm down. It's really the best way to look at it. So
that's so good. A great attitude.
But yeah, we know everybody here pretty well by now. I know we had a really good relationship with our prior RV resort we were staying at. Those folks were absolutely phenomenal, and it was the same two people pretty much all the time. So you really got to know them. Anytime you get into the office, it was the same folks. So
yeah, I think that's what's so nice about being somewhere for, you know, longer than a couple weeks. You get to know people, and just for security too. Like they kind of know, like, you know, the vehicles that are supposed to be there and the people that are supposed to be around your site. And, you know, I think of that too. There's been a couple times where we've been, like during COVID, we were supposed to be in a site for like 2 months, and we ended up being there for about a year. So we got to know them a lot, and it was really nice to have somebody that was kind of looking out for you. If packages came in or whatever, they knew that we were going to come in and get them. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. And then where do you guys decide, like when you have your time off, like is that like a week's vacation when you guys travel every few months?
Usually, yes. It's just some vacation time. I've been with the company for a while, so I accrue about a month a year at this point. So
nice.
We get to take a few here and there. And every once in a while, I even do a little bit of travel with work. So if I can squeeze that into a trip for the family where I may go work, you know, for a few days, but then during the weekends or whatever it may be, we try to do that. We'll go that route. So.
Oh, that's so nice. What do you do for work, Chris?
I work in distribution. So I'm a warehouse operations manager.
Okay, great. Oh, that's so awesome that you guys, you know, found that the company in Florida was a position that they gave you in Texas that you couldn't pass up. And this just kind of opened the doors to this kind of all working out and falling into place. It was definitely meant to be. And you guys are making it look so easy, and it's going so well for you guys. I'm just so happy how it all worked out. That's great. And when you guys travel, how many states have you guys been in? Is it something that, you know, are you guys just new to traveling? Or before, when you did the camping and your travel trailer, did you guys do a lot of, you know, different travels to different states, or how did that work? Or did you guys kind of just stay in Florida when you did that?
That one, we really did mostly local with the other trailer, excluding that trip to Big Bend. So that one was, I want to say it was 3,600 miles and what's that, 5 states that we ended up in for that trip.
Yeah, that's huge.
So that one, that was our big one with that particular one. The RV we're in now, and just situationally, has made, what are we, just did our 4th or 5th trip back and forth to Florida from Texas. So this one's done the same I-10 route quite a few times. And then we've taken some local trips here in Texas. So
My brother lives in, well, near Austin, and we spent 2 weeks there a couple years ago. And then he was in San Antonio before that. And so, yeah, the summers there are hot, but other than that, it's pretty good weather.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, compared to Florida, I guess it's pretty close. So you guys are used to Florida summers. So what do you think is worse?
We always say hot is hot.
Yeah, exactly.
But as a native Floridian, I would pick Texas. It's not as humid. Everyone says it's humid here, but I promise it's not. Compared to Florida, you drink the air over there.
Yes.
And I didn't realize that, right? You don't know when you grow up with it. Our first summer here, I was like, you know, I mean, it's hot, right? You walk outside, you kind of air fry, but you don't boil.
Right.
I think I'll take that over the, it's not so humid, you don't sweat as much. I don't know if it's any harder on the AC or the RV. Maybe it is, but we're typically a cool 72, 74 in here with Chris and all of his touch-ups he's done. So we're always good, but outside our heat index just the other day was 111.
Ooh.
We're under a heat advisory, according to Alexis.
Wow. What part of Texas?
We're in Columbus, so it's about an hour and a half kind of from all the major areas here, San Antonio, Austin, kind of just draw a line between those two. So it's kind of the very bottom of hill country. We're right on a river. It's kind of the storms go around us typically, where it's a little flat enough for the storms to go around. We don't typically have too much bad weather. You go a little farther north, you get, you know, more tornadoes, you get some mudslides, because the ground here is a lot different than Florida. Just like 2 or 3 inches of water sits on the ground here versus Florida, you know, it can rain for 3 months straight in the spring. It's perfectly fine because it seeps right in. The ground is much different here, so a lot more flooding can happen. But our area is typically pretty good.
Okay, good. Did you guys get snow where you were?
Actually, it snowed in Houston. I guess I was around Christmas. And that's the first time I've ever seen snow.
Oh.
Chris has taken us on so many trips throughout all the years, even before RV life. And it was freezing. And, you know, we get sick because it's so cold. And we're out there trying to be in it. And
yeah.
It snowed the day after we left on almost every one of those trips.
Oh.
So we were almost there long enough. But we finally saw snow. Chris had a lot more at his work than we did at the RV. But I have some pictures of like little snowflakes on the RV. I was so excited.
Oh, wow. So did you have to like skirt in or anything? Like,
no.
Was it that cold? Okay. All right. So that's good. Yeah. We ended up spending winter in Ohio this past winter. And oh my goodness. Yeah. We had to skirt in with like really thick foam board. And oh my gosh, it was so cold, but we survived. But oh, I'm glad, because I know there's been some times where Texas gets a lot of snow and wasn't sure where you guys are to figure that out. But I'm glad you got to see snow. It is fun. It is fun, especially for somebody new, but it's not fun when you have to live in it all the time. That's why we left Ohio. We were from here, and then we moved to Florida, and we spent 15 years in Florida, and now we're back for a little bit here, but that's so cool. And so with all the different travels that you guys have done, what have been like your top 5 locations?
Big Bend, as we've talked, that's really ranked up there for us.
I can't wait to see that. That's on our list.
Beautiful, and I have never seen a night sky that looks like it does in Big Bend. The amount of stars that you see out at night, and it's just a completely different place, right? You forget that you're still living in this country that's civilized because you're so far away from everything.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
That one was a huge one. Trip to the Keys definitely ranks up there with going snorkeling and just the sunsets and all that you get in that South Florida area. They're wonderful. Really like going through our natural springs. So I know one of our favorites is Itchituckmi that we've been to, but I'm pretty much you clear flowing water with a tube and we're happy.
Yeah.
Another one, Raccoon Caverns, and like up there in the Ruby Falls, Chattanooga, all that area.
Oh, I heard of that.
That one's, it's one of the lesser known caverns in that area, but way cooler tours, extremely personal. You know, team working there, the folks that were there just are very passionate about teaching everyone about the caves and everything that's going on. So just one of them, it was beautiful for one, but for two, it's that experience that comes with it and the people that take you on that experience. That was a really big one. And then I'm reaching back to some of the travels that I've done for this one, because it's one of my favorite places. And I'd say pretty much my whole family that went out there was South Dakota. That just one of the prettiest places as a whole I've been in this country, in the Black Hills, and just that whole area around, of course, you know, Mount Rushmore is what drove us out there, but that's not by any means the best part. It's one of the least, if anything, because it's just the area, it's Crazy Horse National Monument, I believe, all those things. It's a memory that I'll have for a lifetime. So truly loved it to come out there.
Everybody that I've talked to that has went out to South Dakota and seen all of that. Like, did you go to Custer State Park and all that?
We did.
Is it the Badlands there too, right?
Badlands, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's what everybody talks about. We've not been. It's on our list. And everybody that I've ever talked to that has went said it's literally their favorite place. So that is awesome. And living in Florida for 15 years, we've never been to the Keys, which is ridiculous. But that is also on our list, too. Everybody loves it there.
I lived there my whole life, and that was my first trip to the Keys. It took leaving Florida to realize what you wanted to see in Florida.
Isn't that funny? I'm so glad that you said that, because everybody always thinks we're crazy to hear, like, you lived in Florida for 15 years, you've never been to the Keys? And it's like, no. You know, we have so many Florida friends that go every single year. We just never had the opportunity. When we would get a vacation living there, we'd come to Ohio to visit our family. So we just never had an opportunity just to go explore Florida. So we've been to Tampa, and we were living around Daytona Beach, and, you know, of course, like Orlando, Jacksonville, but that's about it in Florida. We've never been anywhere else. So yeah, there's a lot of beautiful places in Florida to see too. And the Keys is definitely, you know, everyone's favorite. So that's on our list. I'm glad you guys got to go.
It was like 8 hours to drive there where our hometown was, or 8 hours to leave Florida. So we always left Florida just because, you know, we wanted to leave Florida for the day or week or whatever we were doing. So we just always chose to go north. And Chris had been, his first memory actually was a glass bottom boat tour in the Keys. So we took him while we were down there. Of course, we had to go on a glass bottom boat tour. And that was super fun to experience his first memory there. We liked it.
Oh, I always wanted to go on one of those. That's awesome.
I think it's funny too, you're talking about when you lived in Florida, all your vacations were back to Ohio. Well, since we're from Florida and have moved to Texas, all of our vacations have been back to Florida. And the statement we gave everybody, and I told everybody in the house, I was like, my next vacation, we will head west or we will head north. I will not be heading east.
Yes.
From where we're at. And I said, we live so much closer to all these amazing things this country has to offer, and we keep going back to the same ones.
Right.
So as gorgeous as the Keys are, which that was an awesome experience and loved every minute of it, I'm like, I'd like to see something else we have available.
Yes. Have you guys been to Colorado at all?
I have, a long time ago, but I've been to Colorado.
Okay. We did 10 weeks. It was actually about 9 weeks. And then the 1 week traveling in 2022. So 2 years ago. And we always wanted to go. And prior to that, we only just spent like a half a day there just during travels. But it is so incredible. And so that's definitely one of our top favorite states right now. So that's cool. Hopefully you guys get to go out west and check some things off your bucket list. That's great.
If you love Colorado, then you definitely need to get to South Dakota, because it's a prettier version of Colorado.
Really? Wow. And Montana, people say. And yeah, there's so many more things on our bucket list. We can't wait to head west again. Yeah, that's so cool. That's definitely, yeah, South Dakota is definitely one of our like top three places that is next on our list. So that's great. And then when you guys are in the RV park, and then also when you're traveling, I love to ask people, like, what do they do to stay safe on the road? And again, like when you're at the RV park, does your RV park have security? Do you turn your lights on? Like, what is your best way to stay safe when you're there and when you're traveling?
I have set up to have cameras on the RV. We have the whole network, everything. And I've got a place to put up 6 cameras if we so choose. Previous park we lived in did in fact have an entire security network throughout the park and was gated. The one we're at now, it does still have a gate to get in, so you have to have a key code to get in easily.
That's nice.
But honestly, one of the bigger allures to it is so much that, and don't get me wrong, bad things can happen anywhere.
Right.
Is we're so far kind of away from all of that in a very, very small town where everybody knows everybody again, that it's just not a huge concern where we're at.
Oh, good.
We've been very lucky and had really no situations in any of our travels to the consideration there, and just being hyper vigilant, I guess, whenever I'm looking at parks on where we're going. And then really the size of this RV kind of puts us into bigger parks. It's not necessarily just any of your older parks may not be able to accommodate anything in that 40 plus foot range.
Right.
So a lot of times that forces our hand when we're staying somewhere else to go, okay, I can't necessarily stay way over here. I've got to stay at one of these larger parks that typically come gated and you know, a little bit more security to them, you know, a higher price tag, of course.
Right.
But it really does that. And I'm a researcher. So whenever we are going somewhere we've never been or don't know anything about it, I spend a lot of time researching the location. One of the things I typically look for are the hotspot of any crime area, if it exists at all. A lot of maps out there online that you can look for those. So
good.
I try to make sure I keep away from, you know, the worst of the worst, at least. Every map's going to have some color or show something bad has happened there in the past.
Right.
Unfortunately, but it is what it is. And then, you know, a lot of it is, it's just be aware of your surroundings. Make sure you take the time to research it. And I mean, we've been lucky and never done this, but don't be afraid to leave. I think that's probably the biggest thing. If you pull in somewhere and your gut is telling you you shouldn't be there, you probably shouldn't.
Right.
Leave. It doesn't matter. If you end up wasting a few dollars, you wasted a few dollars, but the peace of mind and safety is, it's worth it. So
that's such great advice. Yeah. That's the best part about having an RV. If you don't like the area, or like Kelly, you said before, if you don't like your neighbor, you just leave, you go somewhere else. So it is really good. That is our favorite part about RVing, is we're in control of the area that we're in and the places that we stay. So very, very good advice. And, you know, so you kind of already mentioned you really haven't had any bad experiences, which is so good. And we haven't either. And honestly, every guest that I've had on the podcast, there's been a couple that have had like e-bikes stolen and stuff like that, but really never have been in a scary situation. So that's really good. And it is, RVing, you know, overall is generally pretty safe. And it's a great community when you're in an RV park. Everybody kind of looks out for each other, but gives each other their privacy for the most part. So that's great. And then have you guys had any issues with your RV? It seems like, you know, when we were doing our research prior to RVing, it just always seemed like, okay, everybody said it's not if, but when it's going to happen. And, you know, we are always so worried about, you know, tire blowouts or just water leaks or whatever. So I wanted to ask you if you've had any issues with the past RV or this one, and how'd you guys handle it?
With our past one, I don't think we had any issue besides one little issue was the door was sideways to the bathroom. So instead of running either parallel or perpendicular to the RV, it was at an angle. And that door did not want to close. I swear to you, you could have put a gun to my head and I could not have gotten that door to close correctly. It was one of those. It did not want to work right. That was really the only issue we had with that one. And it wasn't a big deal. I just added a magnet. Problem solved.
Oh, perfect.
And to your point, right, it's not if, but when. Yeah. You're going to have some issues. We've had water leaks. You know, I'm going to say in the scheme of what is going on, it was all little stuff, luckily. So a lot of the stuff we do is to upgrade more so, or to accommodate what we're looking for. So it's going to happen. You're going to have to deal with something. Put your best foot forward where you can. So I know, to your point, you hear about all the blowouts and everything. I don't believe our factory tires had 300 miles on them before I replaced them with a sturdier, thicker tire with better ratings overall. So it was,
yes.
You know, the ones that were on here were at the spec for this RV. They were fine in that aspect, but they didn't necessarily accommodate anything else. It was just that. So I went up, what was it? I went up, I think, one size tire. I was able to get a thicker sidewall, all kinds of safety improvements to be able to go down the road and feel just a lot more comfortable.
Good advice.
On that one. And that's, yeah, it's painful replacing a brand new set of tires by definition. But
yeah,
with what you see out there and just, you know, my experience, I do have a background in mechanics, so I kind of saw what kind of tires they were and their ratings and knew that they just really wouldn't accommodate anything. You know, even a hard bump is more than they're actually rated for.
Wow.
So that's where I decided to upgrade those tires. And then for the issues, it's the same as anything else in life, right? You own a car, that car is going to break down. You own a house, something in your house is going to break.
Right.
It doesn't matter, you know, in that aspect, but we're also in a house that's meant to go down the road at 65 miles an hour.
Right.
So if you put all those together, you're going to have some issues. And the best thing is be as ready as you can for the easy fixes, if you will. And the rest of it, once again, like I said, I guess, calm down. It's probably not that big a deal. You'll get it fixed.
And you're very handy. So I've seen so many things that you do. So that is a huge blessing that you can fix anything and even make so many great modifications. Were you always like that? Or did you learn a lot, you know, as you bought the RVs?
He's always like that.
Yeah. I've been handy I've always been quite handy. I grew up, my dad was a mechanic.
Okay.
I grew up working on cars. Obviously, drastic difference between that and some of the modifications here. But so from a very young age, I was good at tearing things apart, figuring out how they worked and putting them back together.
Oh, that's awesome.
Worked with my dad as a mechanic for quite a few years, officially and through childhood, so unofficially, you know, grew up doing it, if you will.
Right.
And then, you know, those things that I've picked up from the wise folks I've met over the years of a little trick here, a little trick there, and you put enough of those together, you're able to work with a lot of different things, even if you don't necessarily know what it is quite yet.
And you guys share so much. Like I said before, I love that you guys, you know, figure things out, make improvements, and then you're so willing and gracious to share it with others. And you have so many good ideas. And yeah, I really encourage our listeners to, if they're not already following you guys, to follow. And there's, you know, something new that you're going to learn, you know, every week for sure. It's, you guys have so many good tips and tricks and advice. So I love it. Keep sharing all the good stuff. And you guys obviously get along so well, and I always love to find out if you guys have any tips. You know, when we started, we sold our 4-bedroom home, bought this 40-foot fifth wheel that we thought was so small. Like, it was hilarious because now we're in a 20-foot travel trailer that we're like, you know, like, this is small. But everybody always wanted to find out, like, how do you guys do it? And we always got along really well, and we have no issues. Even the small one, we're just over it because of the lack of storage. Like you were talking about, there's like no cabinets, and, you know, it was only supposed to be temporary. Now we're really looking for our next one. But everybody always wants to find out when they come in, like, how do you guys do it? You must really like each other. And yeah, we do. But, you know, which is funny because there are so many married couples that come in and look at each other and we'll say, like, nope, we could never do this, which is hilarious. But want to find out if you guys have any tips or what you guys do to get along so well in a small space.
So I know, I mean, first off, my wife is absolutely amazing, and there is no reason you wouldn't want to get along with her. So. And for those absolutely rare occasions that that may happen, right? I can just go outside or go for a walk.
Yep.
You have an entire world around you to use for that space if you need it. So, but I mean, we're with you. I think we generally do get along really well. And we know what each other looks like when we need the space to not pressure it so much, I think would be the other. So,
yeah.
You know, work with each other's cues on, hey, maybe I do. Maybe they need a few minutes by themselves.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, sometimes Emma will say, "Ooh, Mom, you look like you need coffee." And I was like, you know what I do? And she's really good at making it. She's got a damn pet.
That's so cute.
She's like, "Do you want a coffee?"
I love that. That's adorable.
So caffeine, that's a good tip. Caffeine.
Yeah.
No, really, Chris said, it's just giving space, knowing when to give it. And like, nothing is that major, right? Like,
right.
Most people fight about like what's cooking for dinner, or, you know, somebody made a weird face. Like, we just make weird faces. That's what we look like. And, you know, it's, nothing's that big. It's no reason to fight about it. We're just kind of a no reason to fight about it people anyway.
Yeah.
If someone comes at us, you know, with some kind of crazy thing, okay, you're probably right. That's great. That's just our personalities.
Yeah. And I think too, if you guys got along before this, you know, it's going to work out. And I think if people are constantly arguing prior to RVing, it's not going to get a lot better. It's probably going to get worse.
That's not the solution, right? I don't think, for in that case, no.
Right.
I would argue square footage has nothing to do with how well you're getting along.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know many people who live in mansions that don't get along, so that has nothing to do with it. Yep, that's so true. That is so true. And then what advice would you guys give to somebody who's considering this RV life? A lot of our listeners are listening because they're, you know, so intrigued like we all were to start this RV life and just trying to get as much information as they can while they're planning this. And I always like to find out, you know, what kind of advice would you guys give?
My best advice ever is to go into as many RVs as you can, different brands, different layouts, maybe, you know, different classes even. Maybe you do want to drive, you know, a motorhome, or you want a little like R-Pod. You don't know what you want until you go in it. And then to that, if it's possible, you can rent them sometimes. You can go through companies that they'll set them up for you. You don't have to learn how to dump the tanks or anything. You don't have to haul it. You don't have a car that can do it, you know, just to see what you want. Maybe the major advice here, you don't always have to go for like the exact one that you want sometimes you have to upgrade. Sometimes you have to start with a truck and then get a little trailer and then get a little bit bigger truck and get a little bit bigger trailer. You don't have to go all the way out, and it's maybe not going to be perfect. You have to accept that too, and just be ready to, you know, have like, I really like this light to be this way, or, you know, this wall to be this color, and be open to that change and not finding the exact perfect one. There are some out there that people remodel. There's companies out there that people remodel, but in that case, otherwise, you're not going to find exactly that. So just being open to different, everything different, you know, just open mind all the way. There's different layouts. Some people want a front kitchen. Some people want a mid kitchen. Some people want a kitchen all the way outside. You're like, you don't know that until you walk in yourself. You can't really take everyone else's advice as like, this is the perfect layout for this, until you go in it and you try it out. And then if you can't go to an RV show, you can see every different model, you know, pretty much out there at the time. Go to a lot of different dealers locally in a short span of time so that you have time to think about them. Take those pictures so you remember which one's which, but you can see those different things and you can compare in real time to yourself. You can look at every YouTube video ever of a tour, and it's not going to be the same as walking in.
So true. That is such great advice. We did so much research, like months of research on YouTube, and we thought for sure we knew, like we were down to, I think, 5 favorites. And then we decided to go actually step inside and look at them. And we drove hours to get to them. And it was completely different looking inside, or, you know, walking inside and being in there versus on YouTube or on TV. So yeah, that's such great advice. Very good. And then, so do you guys have you get your mail at the RV park that you are at now? Is that how you do it? Or do you have like a PO box somewhere? Or?
So we go through the Escapees service.
Oh, okay.
So we still have the domicile location, all that, just because whenever we originally came out here, we knew where we were starting, right? And what park we were going to, but we didn't necessarily know if we were going to stay there. So we went and just signed up for everything, thinking kind of, we'll do that for the first year. And if we find somewhere that we know we're going to spend more time at, then we'll stick with it. But the reality is that mail forwarding service does so much more for us, and we really don't have a lot of mail come anymore. Everything's paperless that can be,
right,
and all that. So it made it much simpler to leave all of our services run to this one address, and then as we choose to move around, we can just have them forward it instead of having to go change everything every time.
That's so smart. So your domicile still in Florida?
So we are still domiciled out of Florida.
Okay, so good, because that's a great domicile state.
That's it. And it saved us a bunch of moving tags and everything.
Yes.
All of our registrations and licenses and all that stuff. And the amount of work it takes to do that, changing states more so than just updating an address.
Yes, absolutely. It is a lot of work. Yeah. I'm glad that you guys did that. And I'm glad you guys mentioned Escapees, because that is such a good idea. A lot of people ask, you know, how do you guys get your mail? And you just, you know, nobody knows. And do you have to stay, you know, ask a friend to get the mail or whatever? But there's so many Escapees, you know, type mail forwarding plans now. There's a lot of different ones. The one that we use, it's called iPostal. And there's a couple other ones too, but that's such a great service. And it really is good. I don't know if you, I'm sure Escapees is the same, where you have like an app on your phone that you check and then you can decide if you want it forwarded or opened.
That is true. Yep. I have the mail forwarding with the scan, so I have to approve something, and then you can set up whatever interval you want to a point, but I have ours set up every 2 weeks it'll send, but it's really, I want to say we're more common about once a month we'll actually get a package in with,
oh wow, nice,
2 or 3 things in it. And some of them are the ones that you're looking at going, is that real or is that junk mail? I'm not sure.
Right. That's true. Oh, that's so good. And then are you allowed to get packages at your park? Like if you wanted to order Amazon or whatever?
Oh, absolutely. I'm pretty sure we keep Amazon in business.
Yeah.
With these random projects and all this one-off stuff that I like to come up with.
Yes.
We help, and I'm sure they wonder, how does all of this stuff that they order go together? It doesn't even make any sense. But yes, they do have packages for any annual sites here.
Okay.
As well as you can for non-annual, but I think you have to pay for it. I'm not sure.
Okay. We've never been in a park where you're not allowed to get a package, or you have to pay for a package. And just having, you know, starting the podcast and interviewing so many different people, that's when I realized that, yeah, so many people stay at parks where either you're not allowed to get packages or you have to pay to get one. So that was a big eye opener for me. I've Never heard of that before. So good to know.
A lot of people use Amazon lockers.
Yes.
So whenever you go, you can find a thing there and just pick where you're going to be if you're ordering it while you're actually driving. And that's pretty convenient.
Yes. Yeah. We used one when we were in Colorado, and I thought that was such a cool idea that they did. That's really makes it convenient for people who are traveling and not near their, you know, somewhere where they can get a package. So that's perfect. And then I think the biggest question that everybody wants to know, in addition to that, how do you get your mail, is, you know, how do you make money on the road? And I know, Chris, you talked about your job, and that's so awesome that you were able to start this RV life and go to Texas. And I wanted to just verify, are you still in the same job? It's just in a different location?
It was a promotion coming to this location, but same company, same concept, still in the supply chain world, if you will.
Okay, cool. But it's kind of, you know, what got you to start this RV life, and you still have your job. You didn't have to, you know, try something new and hope it worked out. It's, you know, a lot more security. And then, you know, is there anything else you guys do to make money, you know, doing this RV life?
I mean, that's pretty much it.
So it's always really, I guess, surprising to people. We make $0 from all of these efforts on social media. I chose to. It's an active choice.
Wow.
And that is because I find it's most important to us to build that foundation of trust in our recommendations and the things that we're saying, this is a really great product, because it's a really great product. I don't make any money. I don't get anything from any of the companies that we've, you know, listed on our social medias or our website. Sometimes companies send us things for free, but I always send an agreement to them that I won't put it on my social medias and say that it's a great product unless it's a great product. And I always put that agreement out there to them. And people are always so surprised that we don't make any commissions or affiliate links or anything else on any of our recommendations, because we're trying to, like, our whole thing is just being positive, obviously, like how to take it all in with a good frame of mind, but also just being helpful.
Kelly, I love that. I am shocked. I had no idea. You do such amazing work, and I already loved you, but I just now am like an even bigger fan. That is amazing. You do so much, and it's all just because you want to help, and I love that about you. That's so great.
Yeah, it feels like a full-time job sometimes, but it's just being helpful. The resources aren't always there for a lot of these things, and you don't have that person you can just message and say, like, hey, we have this problem. I don't know how many videos we get all the time, and Chris has had so many live calls with people, like a video, my furnace isn't working, how do I get this to work? And he'll just get on the phone with them and say, that wire right there and this right here.
Oh my gosh.
Just to show them, because it's not always available to everyone. And in a world where everyone wants something for nothing,
yes.
You know, it makes you feel good anyway. But it's good to be those people that people turn to for that help.
It's awesome that you guys shared that, because honestly, I had no idea. And I already knew I could trust you. You just have that personality. I really always, you know, loved everything that you have shared, because you do seem, you know, very trustworthy. And it does seem like you only share what you love. But just knowing that, no, you're just doing this because you really want to help. That is awesome. I mean, it is very building up that trust factor with everyone. And I mean, you guys are just so awesome to have, you know, such big hearts and, you know, want to give so much back to this RV community. And that's why your audience is growing so big. I love that. That's so great.
Thank you, Jimmy.
That is awesome. And so now that we're talking about all of this, and I hope every single person listening, if you're not already following, please go follow them. They are amazing. Tell us where all of your content is. You have it different places, so we want to make sure. And we're going to put everything in the show notes, but just for the people driving, listen to the podcast, just kind of share everywhere where you're at.
The easiest place to find us is on our website, which is my500squarefootlife.com. On there, you can find the links to everything. But on our socials, we have Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We are My500 Square Foot Life.
I love it. You guys are amazing. Thank you for all that you're doing for this RV community. You guys are just such a positive couple that are out there just sharing so many good things. And Chris, you're so handy with everything. Kelly, you're so good with sharing everything. And I can't wait to join your workshop and learn how to make bread and just following along with your adventures and seeing what you guys are doing and all the different tips and helpful hints that you guys give. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being here. This has been such a fun conversation. I've loved getting to know you guys better. And I hope to see you one day on the road.
Absolutely. We're honored to be here.
Are you as shocked as I was to learn that Kelly and Chris do all of their content creation without making a dime? If you don't follow them, you need to go right now and follow them everywhere because they share excellent content every single day. I learn so much from them and I know you will too. Chris is the ultimate handyman and Kelly documents it and shares it in such an easy to follow way, giving step-by-step information that you will find so helpful. But if you already follow them, share their content with your followers every chance you get. They totally deserve all the love, and I know they would greatly appreciate it. They really are such kind and generous people, and I truly hope we get to meet them one day in person. Be sure to check the show notes for all of their links so you can keep up with all of their awesome content, and you'll also find their information on our website at roamingyourhome.com/my500squarefootlife. Come back each week because I have so many fun interviews coming up. You won't want to miss these great conversations filled with so many awesome tips and travel information. I learned so much and know you will too, so come back each week. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with anyone who might find it helpful. I look forward to being with you again next week, but until then, stay safe and I hope to see you on the road. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Roam in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure, but until then, stay safe, and we hope to see you on the road.